For by grace we are saved through faith. She told me her song didn't match up with my sermon title, and I said, don't worry about it. It really does. You just can't separate grace and faith, can you? Well, I have my aches and pains too. Anybody else? How many of you ever worry about something? Two? Let me ask another question. How many of you like to be honest? How many of us sometimes find ourselves worrying about something? Come on, I want to see your hand. I want to see every hand in here. Okay. Some of them I see are going like this. Worry is just a very human thing to do. We just find ourselves being concerned, and a certain amount of concern can be appropriate, but when it's carried to extremes and we just fret and worry, then what is it really? You might say it's a lack of faith. Faith is trusting God even when things are not going the way we think they should, even when we don't understand what's happening in our lives. I've been a believer for many years, yet sometimes experience doubt. Never to the point of unbelief, but questioning what life is about. Satan whispers in my ear, and instead of simply turning him away, I passively listen to his strategic lies and the things that he has to say. Though I should have learned my lesson well, knowing better by now, it's so easy to question God's promise and the sacredness of my vow. At least I have learned how to get back on track with a simple little plea by crying out to my Savior and confessing my weakness on bended knee. Jesus is always so eager to forgive despite my childish fear. He meets me with a forgiving smile and bids me to draw near. Mark 9:24 says, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. That's a prayer that we can relate to, isn't it? We believe, we're believers, but sometimes Satan brings a little spark of doubt. Just that little glimmer that takes our eyes off of Jesus and our trust for him, and we begin to find ourselves without the certainty that God wants us to have. Romans 1:17 is what our scripture reading this morning was. In the King James Version, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. My sermon title is Just Live by Faith. Or you could say, just live by faith. Just do it. But it's easier said than done. Amen. This verse, Romans 1:17, is the one that brought the great German reformer Martin Luther that aha moment. When he read it and it really soaked in, the Holy Spirit touched his heart through this text, and he realized the just shall live by faith. Now, some of us don't fully comprehend the transition in thinking that Martin Luther went through when that text really came home. Now, he already believed in righteousness by faith. He already believed that the only way to get to heaven was through the grace of God. But what really came home to him when he read that text on that special day was, it's not our righteousness, it's not our faith, it's the faith of God that's actually substituted for our own. Our weak, fallen nature is replaced by the grace and the faith and the perfect character of God. The just shall live by faith. That verse also says, it is written, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That indicates to me that somewhere else in God's word, the same instruction or promise was given. And that is found in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Almost verbatim. And that same reference is repeated a couple of other times in the Bible. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And then again in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now I assume, since this is repeated several times during the scriptures, that there's something important about this message. And Martin Luther had the same feeling. It was like God's faith becomes my faith. Not God will let me develop my own faith. Not that he will let me become righteous through his power, although that is true to some degree. But rather, it's an instantaneous substitution of God's grace and faith for my own weakness. Let it soak in. Let it speak to you like it spoke to Martin Luther. Let it just dwell within you that no longer am I expected to meet someone else's expectations, not even God's. God says, be holy even as I am holy. But what it doesn't specify or clearly explain in that particular verse is that God supplies that faith. He supplies the grace. He does it all for us, not just helping us out, but he does it for us. The just shall live by faith. Any of you who are taking comfort in the job that you're doing, you need to be careful. You need to find another source for comfort, because self-righteousness is not righteousness. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's our best. Our best is like filthy rags. So how much favor does our righteousness earn with God? None. All that so-called righteousness does is give us a false sense of security, a hope in ourselves, like, well, maybe I'm being good enough that God will let me into heaven. Is that how it works? For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Can we earn salvation? Can we ever deserve salvation? Can we ever become righteous? Only in Christ Jesus. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now that is just totally illogical. By human standards, that just does not equate. Faith is the substance. The substance is what you can reach out and touch, right? It's the substance of things that we hope for. And evidence, again, that's what you look to as concrete proof. And the evidence of things that are invisible, things that we can't see. You know, that's where logic just fails us as human beings. We can't use human logic to understand God and His grace and how salvation comes through faith. It's just illogical. But it's true because God said it's true. And this faith that we're talking about, that the just shall live by faith, is not only saving faith, although that's an important part of it, obviously, but it's also the faith that will get us through the daily struggles of life. When we have those aches and pains and find it difficult to stand up and walk and do the things that we would like to do. You know, we had some new flooring put down in our house, and they said, we'll move the furniture. All you have to move is everything else. And we didn't comprehend that until we started moving all the knickknacks and the little breakables and small things. But we moved it from one room to another and then back to that room, and it was worth it. We're happy with our new flooring, but it was a job, and we feel everything that we did, every little ache and pain. I'm sure most of you will recall the story of the man who brought his demon-possessed child to the disciples and wanted them to cast out the demons. And what happened? Anybody remember? The disciples couldn't do it. They tried, but they failed. And then after the man saw that he was wasting his time with the disciples, he took his son to Jesus. And Jesus just immediately cast out the evil spirits and healed him. And the disciples said, how do you do that? We tried it. We prayed. How come it didn't work for us and it works for you? What did Jesus say? Okay. Matthew 17:20 is where his response is recorded. It says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Anybody know how big a mustard seed is? I preached this sermon years ago, and I glued a mustard seed to the tip of a toothpick and held it up, and they couldn't even see the toothpick. But the mustard seed is very, very small. And says, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, we've read that text that says, with God, nothing is impossible. But here he says, if we have just the slightest little bit of faith, that nothing will be impossible for us either. We will share that promise, that power. When we feel helpless and hopeless and don't know where to turn to, that's when we have to call on faith. That's when we say, well, I don't see it, but I am claiming the evidence of things not seen. It doesn't seem like it's here, but I have faith because faith is the substance of just what I'm hoping for. I'm trusting God to supply what I can't supply. You know what? You don't disappoint God when you fail to be perfect through your own power. You don't. The only disappointment that we give to God is when we try to do it ourselves and we don't acknowledge the fact that it's a hopeless battle through our own strength and our own power. For by grace are we saved through faith, not through works, not through accomplishments, not through performance, but by grace are we saved through faith, that God's faith and God's grace and God's love becomes a part of us as a gift. Now, if I pulled out a $20 bill and said, I'm going to give you this money, that's an offered gift, right? At this point, who does it belong to? It still belongs to me, doesn't it? Because I just said I'm going to. I didn't give it to you yet. If Jesus says, I am going to give you salvation as a free gift, and you say, well, I believe Jesus is telling the truth. I think he really wants to do that. Do you have salvation? Not yet. All you have done is acknowledge the offer of the gift and acknowledge that Jesus is good as his word. But until you reach out and take it, until I hold out that $20 bill and you, and I'm not going to give you $20, don't get your hopes up here. It's just an illustration. But if I hold out that $20 and you reach out and take it, then who does it belong to? Then it becomes your property. Why? Not because it was offered, but because you accepted it. The same is true of salvation. Jesus, he says he's knocking on the door, and he's waiting for us to open the door and let him in. And we can just brag to our neighbors about, I got Jesus right outside and he's promised me salvation. That's not good enough, is it? We have to open the door. We have to invite him in. We have to let him give us that gift that he wants us to have. And when he does that, that's when we claim salvation. And we claim it not on merit, not on the basis of our good works, not on our performance or our accomplishments or our worthiness. We claim it because Jesus offered it and we accepted it. It's like that old song, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Okay? That's how we know we're saved, not because of our accomplishments or our works. We know it because Jesus said it and we're taking Jesus at his word. I'm going to close with a couple of little, what I call companion texts. Two verses in the Bible. And if you will remember these two verses, it will help you get through so much of the confusion in life. One is found in John chapter 15, verse 5. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. The companion text is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Without him, I can do nothing. Through Christ, nothing is impossible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just remember those two little promises. Without me, you're going to fail. With me, you're going to succeed. Without me, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to worry. You're going to hurt. But with me, you're going to get through all of that. And one day, we're going to see a land, a home, an eternity, with no aches and pains, no tears, no sorrow, no regrets. Can you imagine? Heaven is going to be such a place. I am the vine, said the Savior divine, and the branches thereof are ye. And no one is alive nor will ever survive without a connection with me. For I share the same love with my Father above that now I offer to you. If you only believe and my love receive, you'll be one with my Father too. I come not to judge, I carry no grudge, but rather I lay down my life. I'll break every bond if you'll only respond and bring an end to all this strife. I've come here to seek and rescue the weak with salvation full and free. Hear me this hour. I will give you the power. My strength is sufficient for thee. Don't turn me away, for there's no other way to escape the impending doom. This world will soon end. Neither family nor friend can reopen eternity's tomb. Once judgment is passed and your fate is cast, and no one can alter the sentence, today is the day, or you'll have hell to pay. Now is the time for repentance. Such a goal to attain, you have heaven to gain, an eternal loss to avoid. So what will it be, the devil or me? Life today, forever enjoyed? The choice is clear and the hour is near. We dare not hesitate. We must choose today our Lord to obey before it's forever too late. Without Him, I can do nothing. Through Christ, I can do everything, anything. No limitations, no impossibilities. Don't be afraid to attempt the impossible as long as you're depending on Christ for the strength to do it, because He makes the impossible possible. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that You would impart the faith that only You can give to us. We accept the gift of salvation made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And we realize that no matter how faithful we are, no matter how hard we try to become righteous, that our best is nothing but filthy rags. So we want Your grace and Your faith to fill our lives completely. Dismiss us now from this place, but not from Your presence. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.